You look at Acts chapter 6, if you got your Bible. Oh, yeah, used to a screen being there. Okay, there's no screen. That's just the cross. That's way better than a screen, right? No, Acts chapter 6, this is when during the church of Jerusalem, right at the beginning of after Jesus was resurrected and then he ascended and the church is formed in Jerusalem and then it begins to grow. And it says this, it says, now in the days when the disciples were increasing in number, so the church is growing, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So the 12, they summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, it's not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. You see, this church already had something going, much like GCF already has so many things going. And then there's a crisis that arose. It says, what do we do about these widows? They're saying we're not being served. And in the middle of the crisis, you see the values sort of spring up. The things that are important to this growing church, this great move of God that's happening in the Jerusalem church. It says, therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation to fix this problem, right? That's what they're doing. And so you see these men, the reputation that they're looking for, the thing that this church values. They didn't say guys who were tall and good looking or athletic like Blake. They didn't say that. They said they were looking for men who are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. And we may put in charge of this task, who we may put our authority on. That's the value that this church had. And I believe being full of the Spirit and of wisdom is one of the values that post-COVID God is wanting us to have as a church. And it goes on to say, but we will devote ourselves, the apostle speaking, to prayer and the ministry of the word. Those are also incredibly important values. Keep going. The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man, what does it say?
Full.
Everybody say full. Full of faith in the Holy Spirit. There's that word full again. It's another value of this church is for them to be full of not only wisdom in the Holy Spirit, but faith in the Holy Spirit. And it goes on and says, and these they brought before the apostles, these men who were full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and they laid their hands on them, and the word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith. You see, when you get God's values, when you begin to do the things that he values as a person, as an individual, what begins to happen is some unexpected things. Like it just kind of like God's moving and there's things that you weren't even trying to reach that person to get saved. And all of a sudden they get saved. Or those hard cases you thought there ain't no way a priest is going to get saved. And all of a sudden a priest who's of the Sadducee party, which are like the most theologically liberal Jews at that time, they're the guys in charge of the churches at that point, of the Jewish synagogues. They've got position, they've got power, they're old. There's no way those guys are going to get saved. And what happened as the church pressed in to the fullness of faith, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God, great many of priests, the unlikely, were coming, becoming obedient to the faith. And then finally, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs. Wines and sunders. That's what I almost said. And Stephen, full of grace and power. So Stephen's also full of something too. Grace and power, right? So we've got the fullness of what? We've got the fullness of wisdom. We've got the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We've got the fullness of faith. And we've got the fullness of grace and power. And I believe those things, those full things, are what we need. Going into this next move of God. There's going to be a great move of God that's coming. It's on the horizon. And so we don't just need faith. We don't just need faith. It didn't say these guys had some faith. It didn't say they even just had a little faith. It said they had full faith. What's it mean to have full faith? We're going to talk about that. They also didn't just have wisdom, but they had a fullness of wisdom. What's it mean to have fullness of wisdom? And the third point here is they didn't just have grace, but they had the fullness of grace. So what is this word full? What does it mean? Well, over and over again in the scriptures, anytime it talks about people being full of the Spirit, it's talking about Acts 1:8. It says, when the Spirit comes on you, what'll happen? You'll have power from on high. You see, they've got They've got faith power. They've got a fullness of faith. It's like saying, it's synonymous with saying, they've got power faith. How many of you guys want some power faith? Yeah. Come on. Some power faith to see some mountains move. You see, it says in the other scriptures that everyone can operate, and there are certain people who are given to more faith than others. You guys know these people who just believe something, you know, it's just easy. You got a prayer request, you always call them. She's like, I just know they're going to believe what I tell them. I just know they're going to believe for me better than I'm going to believe. You're doubting yourself. You're like, hey, can you pray for me? Right? But here what's happening is that they are actually full of faith. They are overflowing with faith. It's like faith and the Holy Spirit together are one together. That's why it says full of the Holy Spirit and faith, because it's tying those two ideas together, that they're at their peak faith. They have faith, like, and what the word full means, it can also mean overflowing. They're overflowing with it. Same thing with grace. Same thing with wisdom. They are overflowing with this. The power is turned on high. Power is turned on high. And so we want to have that as well. I believe as this move of God comes, I believe that we want to have the power of these things. We want to walk in the fullness of these, of grace and faith and wisdom. And so Stephen was full of power in the Holy Spirit. The unintended result no one was expecting was those priests coming to Christ. You know, Stephen was serving tables. How did that translate into many priests believing? But that's what happens when the power of God gets on something. And so it just starts to overflow. You get unexpected results. So again, we've got to marry faith, wisdom, and grace with power. How do we do that? Well, we got to start with how do we get the Holy Spirit to give us power? How do we get clothed with power from on high? Well, how did they do it in Acts? Well, they met together in the upper room, and what were they doing? Praying. That's right, they were praying, right? It's pretty profound this morning, but I'm going to tell you, if you pray, there's power that comes with that, right? It's like hooking up to it's like the power plant. It's like the power factory. It's like putting your solar panels out on your roof and collecting energy, right? That's what happens when you pray. And so over and over and over again, I don't know about y'all, but the more I pray, the more stuff seems to happen. It just starts to happen. Like a lot of coincidences. I just prayed for that. I literally just asked God for that. I just prayed and God gave me a verse, and literally that verse spoke exactly to my problems. There must be something to this prayer. There is, isn't there? And so the examples of prayer, I remember being here actually as a campus minister, and a couple of the students thought it'd be a good idea to pray 2 hours a night, every night of the week in the multipurpose room. Y'all remember this? Our ministry, our campus ministry blew up in a good way, right? It grew a ton in a very small amount of time. It went from like 60 or 70 students to a couple hundred students in 2 years. There were baptisms and salvations, and it was incredible. Why? Because we plugged in to the power of prayer, to the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit was on these things. And so when you begin to pray, that's what you're doing. You're hooking up your whole life to the power of God. Yeah. And so I believe in this time coming that the church has got to be more prayerful than pragmatic. Like, planning is great. Praise God for planning. Yeah. But we've got to plug in that planning with prayer, to prayer, right? And so one of the funny things that happened when we started praying all the time is you just get stuff that you weren't expecting. So you guys know Kenny Sanborn? Anybody know this guy? A few of you guys know this guy. So this guy, I don't even know where he came from, but we were just praying all the time in the multipurpose room. He came in out of nowhere from what I remember. Like somebody met him at Walmart or something. I don't know. But anyways, he came in. He starts coming to stuff. Is that what happened? Kind of. Who knows? Nobody really even knows where Kenny's from. He may be an angel. We're not sure. We're trying to figure it out now. But he came in from nowhere, and we just began to pray for him. And he was in a cast, you know, much like Blake. It was worse than Blake's. It was like one of those legit casts. You kind of have to, like, cut off or something to get out of. And he comes in, and he's like, and they're like, hey, we'll pray for you that you'll be fully healed. And so they laid hands on him in the multipurpose room to pray for him. They were praying every night of the week, 2 hours a night, every night of the week for like a year. The students were doing it. And so this guy came in out of nowhere, and they prayed for him, and he's like, you know what? It feels better after you prayed. It feels really good. And then he had the audacity to take off his cast and like try it out. He's like, I really feel like it's better. He's like, actually, that is amazing. And then you get unexpected results. Because what he did after that was a backflip. He backflipped, and nobody asked him to do that. That's not like common practice for us. Like, we want to see if God really healed you, you're going to be able to do something you've never been able to do. But that's what happened with Kenny. He did a backflip, and he landed it, praise God. And he was healed. And he gave his life to Jesus. And he's been in ministry ever since for the last 10 years preaching the gospel. And now he started a prayer ministry in New York City right now. That's all from praying, guys. That's just from plugging in. You just get stuff you weren't even trying to get. You couldn't have planned for that. It wasn't a strategy. We sat down. We're going to find some random dude off the street. We're going to pray for him. We're going to make him take his cast off and do a backflip and go into ministry. You just can't plan that, right? But when you pray, all kinds of awesome stuff happens. We just started, you know, from being inspired really by the students and staff praying here. When we were here, we started praying recently as a church. Monday through Friday from 12 o'clock to 12:20, just like a Zoom prayer thing. That's what we're doing at our church. And over the last few months, we've seen two people legitimately cured of cancer. It's amazing. Give God a hand, really. I mean, it's been really amazing. My neighbor, who's not a Christian, had a stroke and almost died three times. And we prayed for him every time, and now he's on his way to recovery. I mean, and it's just been a testimony to our neighbors. We've got to pray with neighbors who are Buddhists and all kinds of things. We held hands, and they were like, well, Melissa, you mind praying for us? You know, and she's like, in the name of Jesus, we just pray that he would be healed, he would be fine, he would not die, and that's what happened. And so that's just the kind of fun things you get to be a part of when you're praying. And so post-COVID Christianity is going to have more prayer. It's going to be more prayerful than pragmatic. And it's more fun. It's just more fun. I mean, planning meetings. How many of you guys like planning meetings? A couple of you. I get it. I understand that. But I'm telling you, you put some power of God on that planning meeting, and you see and as you go to actually implement those plans, and you see the power of God touch it, it's just incredible. It's worth leaning fully into that. And so as we're praying, what that does is that turns our faith from just normal faith into power faith. It turns our walking in grace from just normal grace into power grace, and it turns our wisdom from normal wisdom into power wisdom. So you can't just have the power. You do have to hook it up to something, right? If you're just praying but you're not preaching, you're not going to see people get saved. You got to go preach, right? So same thing with faith. As you're praying and praying and praying, what begins to happen, as you just pray a little bit on the way to work, for instance, like you just take a couple minutes. You know what? I never do this. I'm going to pray for 2 minutes on the way to work. Just start there, something small, right? Y'all been doing the little things. You don't have to go 6 hours. You know, you don't have to go to 2 hours immediately. Just start with something small. But as you do that, combine your prayers with faith. So Stephen was a man full of faith, right, in this great move of God. Now, this faith is different, we see here, than salvific faith. It's the same substance, but they're not talking about, Stephen was just very sure of his salvation. Right. That was the kind of faith. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about that mountain-moving, miraculous, dead, getting up from the grave kind of faith. And that's what God's wanting us to lean into again. And I know it's hard coming off of COVID. I know it's been difficult. I know there's, like, in the wake of this, there's been tragedy, right? You guys, some of y'all know this, but my dad passed away about a year ago, unexpectedly, and it was very difficult. And if, you know, as you're going through COVID and stuff and all the stuff that was going on, it could be very hard if you lost somebody, and it can really kill your faith, and it can make you be like, I just don't know if I can believe because I tried to believe for this and it didn't happen, right? But I believe in this hour, God's saying, believe again. Yeah. Don't go quietly into the night. Bring the light of dawn and the light of day in this hour. Yes. Yes. And so if you, I want to show you something in a second, but I really believe God is turning these graves into gardens. And that's what God spoke to me as I was at my dad's funeral. He said, I'm going to turn this grave into a garden. You watch. And at the time, I was like, I just can't even imagine how you're going to do that. My dad had given his life to Jesus like 2 months before. And it was actually after the fact that we learned all these things about how my dad came to know Jesus. And I found all these text messages he's been sending about how much he loved Jesus to his own dad. Yeah, it was really something. And so what was really cool about this, though, was that me and my brother, if for those of you that know Jeff, a couple of y'all do, and so me and him were estranged. We hadn't talked in 2 years. And that was, and so the first time I saw him was at my dad's funeral. And God said, I'm gonna turn it all from a grave to a garden. You watch. And I just thought, there's no way me and him are ever getting reconciled before all this happened. And then sure enough, that's exactly what God did over the last year. Over the last year, we started talking again. I walked him through some stuff. And then eventually this past year, towards the end of it, he made Jesus his Lord and his Savior. And yeah, give God a hand. And so, which a year ago I literally wouldn't have thought was possible. And so you guys have the picture? And so last Sunday, I baptized him. He's right there. He's getting a hug. And then you see my mom over there. So she wasn't really walking with the Lord over there on the left. And now she is. She's going to church every Sunday. And then my grandmother, who's never mentioned Jesus before, started talking about Jesus right after my dad passed. It's just amazing what God can do. And I believe there's just more of this coming, more prodigals returning home, more people we thought never in a million years are they going to come to know Jesus or going to come to repent or understand the Lordship of Christ. And that is exactly what God wants to do in this hour. And so I'm excited for y'all because I think that is going to be your testimony. I think you're going to have pictures like that on your wall and say, this is what God did in my family post-COVID. This was the faith that he gave me. This was the grace that he gave me. And he turned all this into a garden. And so that's coming. That is on its way. So it's time to believe again. Amen. Time to believe again. And so so that's part of it. You know, it's just the faith of God. And so I will say this about having faith in this hour is that you got to have faith in the name of Jesus. This is something God's just been speaking to me about. So on a smaller scale, for instance, like as some of you know, we have to raise support as missionaries, right? We have to raise support. And so usually it takes a whole summer to raise whatever support you need if you're a missionary. And I just felt like God told me going into last summer, he said, just have faith. Just believe in the name of Jesus. Start declaring the name of Jesus over your MPD. And I was like, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now that my MPD would come in really fast. And in one week last summer, I was able to raise all my support for the year, which was incredible. And I just feel like God's saying, if we'll believe again, if we'll have faith. So you're at work, you're having a problem with a coworker versus trying to figure it out and get anxious about it and try to solve it yourself. Begin to speak the name of Jesus over it. Just say, in the name of Jesus, this is going to be fine. We're going to resolve our issue. I know God's going to make the peace between us. And somehow, even though maybe I don't even like you that much, we're going to be friends after this in the name of Jesus. Or even as you're believing for stuff in terms of your workplace, right? So you've got things going on in your workplace, maybe in terms of getting a promotion, or you've got issues with your kids. Anyone got issues with their kids? I mean, I've got awesome kids, and it's not easy, right? Except for Liam. Liam's the easiest. The rest of them are really difficult. The ones in children care, very hard. But Liam's awesome. And so the point is though, instead of Melissa and I getting anxious and like, oh, we're bad parents, and gosh, what have we done? And then not knowing exactly what to do, we just got together and we prayed and said, Lord, we just pray this week that you would help this kid with this issue. And wouldn't you know it? The same time you pray for that thing, that week it resolves. And then we forget what God just did, right? And so I think start applying the name of Jesus onto things. As one preacher, teacher related it, he said it's kind of like when you get married, right? When you get married, like when Melissa and I got married, she was able to take money out of my checking account, right? Because she has my last name now, once we get married. You know this? Like, so when we get married, your wife gets your last name. So she goes to the bank and she takes out money. And I was like, hang on a second, how can you do that? That's my money. There's not that much in there. You know, I would appreciate it if it stayed in there. But she's able to do that, right? She's able to make a withdrawal based on my name. And it's the same thing with Jesus, that if you're in Christ, you've got his name attached to your name. It's like, my name's not just Alan Mitchell. It's almost like, this is not exactly theologically true, but it's true in this principle sense. It's like Alan Mitchell, Jesus, in the sense of like, I'm God the Father's son. You're God the Father's daughters and sons. And so you're able to withdraw that power of the Holy Spirit onto your life. And so there's a ton, I believe, that God, if we would just say the name of Jesus over stuff, if we would just use that name to say, Finances come under the name of Jesus. Work issues come under the name of Jesus. I was praying this for my brother. I pray that he gets saved in the name of Jesus. And sure enough, he got saved. We've got to begin to put our world under that name. And I think even if it doesn't work sometimes, the times it does work are worth the times it doesn't, right? Because sometimes it's just not his will, and that's okay. But there's a lot of times it is his will, and we just haven't even asked. Right. And so we've got to start writing more checks with his name on it. In the name, I pray for this. In the name, I pray for that. And I'm not going to stop until I pass. Amen? So in this life, with the breath I have in me, I'm going to declare his name and speak it over my friends, my relationships, my church. And so finally, okay, so you get the power of faith. So that's faith power. That's not just faith. That's faith with some power on it as we pray. So the second point here is to have some powerful wisdom. Powerful wisdom. How many of you guys know some people that need some wisdom? Right? I have been one of those people. I have also seen those people who need it. Right? So full of wisdom in the Holy Spirit. Stephen was full of wisdom in the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 6:10 that they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave Stephen as he spoke. As he was speaking to the Pharisees, they were like, we can't even answer that. We don't even know what to say against what he's saying. And I do believe in our workplaces, with our families, and especially the next time we have these things called elections. Y'all know about these things, these elections. And I don't know about you guys, but if you're like me, you have all the correct political beliefs. Anybody else like that in here? Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've got them all correct. And so, but if you're like me and these elections come around, the best thing you can do is to get the wisdom of God. For those, when you're talking to your family, or you're talking to friends and family, you know, when you're talking to friends, rather, you're talking to coworkers, rather than giving your own opinion, you can say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? That's 1,000 times better than you repeating what you just saw on YouTube, or what you just heard on the radio, or what you just looked at on whatever news station you just typed in at the top of your browser, right? Like 1,000 times better is the Spirit of God saying something through you and giving you a piece of wisdom for that person. Because it breaks through all of this stuff and gets to the heart of what the person needs to hear, which is probably about who's really in charge, which is King Jesus. Amen? Because that's what they really need in their hearts. That's what we all really need, is to know that Jesus is in charge of it all. He's King of it all. But I will say that as a person who's out in the world, it's difficult to do this, but as I've done this over the years, I've just seen the fruit of God in it. I remember meeting with a student years ago, and I just met with them, and I was listening. It was one of those rare moments where you're actually listening to the Holy Spirit when you sit down with somebody. Some of us just talk, right? I'm a talker. And then it was one of those moments I just sat down, my soul was quiet, and I said, God, what do you want me to say to him? And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, out of nowhere, ask him about his sister. And I was like, sis, I don't know this guy that well. Does he even have a sister? All right, I'll risk it. Let's go. All right, so, hey, man, how's your relationship with your sister? And all of a sudden, he just began to, like, change. His whole demeanor began to change. And he says, oh, we were talking about something else. We were talking about how he's fired up about, I think, politics or something. And all of a sudden, it was like, well, it's not good with her. It's not good with her at all. He'd also not really been walking with Jesus. And then what happened next? You begin to go through this, and I just kept asking the Holy Spirit, what's the next question to ask, and the next question to ask. And by the end of it, he had pretty much decided he was going to start following Jesus himself, and the first thing he needed to do was to go talk to his sister and repent for some things that he had done. That relationship then got reconciled, and then she had not been going to church for years and years, and she started going to church with him, all in one moment of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And that's what I think post-COVID, we don't have to worry about, oh, election year's coming around again. How are we going to get through it as a people, as a church, as our family's going to get through it? We can be like, you know what? We're walking in the power of God, of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to actually have wisdom to give in that situation. We're going to ask God, what should I say? There's 1,000 things I could say. What question do you want me to ask? And then often it's some question you never would have thought of is even relevant to anything. And that's the very thing that opens their heart to what they need to hear from the Holy Spirit and come to know Jesus. So can we walk in that together in the post-COVID world of Christianity, of walking with the Holy Spirit in this way? Amen? Amen. Come on, let's do it. Yeah. So not going through another crisis like that. It's not going to happen in the name of Jesus. So last thing is not just the power of the Holy Spirit, but it also being, or the power of the Holy Spirit being hooked up to grace, being plugged into grace. So Stephen had power and he had grace. You know, one of the things that you see over and over again in the scripture is this idea of grace. And once again, we're not talking about here in this context, salvific grace. Grace being like the gift of salvation that you don't deserve. That's true. That's in the scriptures all over the place. But in this instance, what we're talking about is the grace to be able to do things. So when there's a grace for something, it's easy, right? That's the kind of grace it's talking about. So it's not difficult to press in to the Lord. It's not difficult to open your mouth and speak the gospel. It's not difficult to keep going without rest. That's the grace of God. Paul talks about this. He says, I worked harder than any of you. Then he goes on to say, wait a second, not I, but the grace of God working within me. It was just the grace that made it easy. The grace is like if, you know, you can do things in the arm of the flesh. Yeah. You can do things in terms of your own strength and make things happen and try to control things and just push through. But I believe a time is coming when God's saying, look, let me just blow wind in your sails and make it easy for you to pray, make it easier for you to preach, make it easier for you to open your mouth. All you have to do is literally just say yes. And even that's going to be like easier than before. And so I believe there's a power of grace coming in your lives for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of the world and your families and your children and your children's children to say yes. And specifically on these junior high and high schools, I really think God is wanting to do something in these schools that are so broken, that are so far from Jesus. And we can talk about it a lot, how messed up the worldview they're teaching them is or whatever. But what they really need is somebody to go in there and tell them about Jesus. Somebody to say yes to the call, to say, you know what, let me tell you something. What the good news you're really looking for, kid, is Jesus. The life you're really looking for, the love you're looking for, the fulfillment, the thing that'll actually give you prosperity of your soul and your heart and your whole life, it's him. It's always been him. And I think there's going to be a grace for the church to say yes to that call, to say yes to going into these schools and beginning to proclaim the gospel in an easier way than ever before. And I think the grace will meet you in the sense of, as you go, these doors will begin to open up on these junior high and high schools, especially in Greenville. So let's see. Okay, so the last thing here is just this. The reason we do this, it's fun. Being full of the Holy Spirit, it's fun walking in fullness of faith. It's fun seeing miracles, like way more adventurous to do all this stuff, right? Like boring Christianity is like what you do. I don't even know, but it's just, it's not this, okay? These guys were not bored. Stephen was like, just nothing to do today. You know, he's like, oh, my shadow just healed somebody again. This is amazing, right? Like, this is so cool. And so that's the life that you're called into, right? And it's amazing. And in and of itself, it's like, wow, this would be great for me. But that's not why we do this, right? We don't do it just because it's fun and it's an adventure. The reason we do it is for this reason. Everywhere you see in Scripture, every single place where Jesus is seated, every time you see him in heaven and he speaks of himself, he says, one day when the judgment comes, Jesus says in Matthew 25, I'll be seated at the right hand of the Father. I'll be seated at the right hand of the Father. He says another place, I'll be seated there on that day. You'll look up and you'll see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father. There is only one place in all of Scripture where Jesus is standing, where he is not seated, but he is up, he is risen. And where is that place? It's right here in Acts chapter 7. It says, when the members of Sanhedrin heard what Stephen was saying, they were furious and gnashed at him. So the world is gnashing at him. The world is saying, sit down. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, says he looked up in heaven and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus was not sitting. He was standing to see what his Son had done. And that is what you're called to live like. To make Jesus stand up and take notice. The one who's marked with love for you on his hands, who laid down his life, we want to make him stand for what we do on this earth. And part of that is being full of the Holy Spirit. Part of that's walking in power. Part of that's giving your whole life to him. And so if you've never, you know, this morning, if you've never given your life to him, fully to him, this morning you can do that. You can know this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this person who is worthy of your whole life, who's worthy of every aspect of your relationships, and who is beckoning you to come. Even now, some of you guys can feel that draw in your hearts. You know you've been on the sidelines, but post-COVID, it's over. COVID's over, and a new day is dawning, and this day includes you in it. And the kingdom needs you in it. And the king wants to see you move in these ways. You can't sit idly by anymore. You've got to get in the game. And part of that means actually jumping into salvation and making Jesus your Lord and having salvific faith and saying, God, I'll follow you wherever you want me to go. And then some of you this morning, you know Jesus. You know Jesus, but you're timid and scared because it's been a rough couple years. And I do think he'd say, son or daughter, believe again. Dream again. Don't give up on what I'm going to do in your family and your life. It's going to be great for generations. It's not just going to be good for you. It's going to be good for your children and your children's children. And so, Lord, let me just pray this morning. Lord, I just thank you this morning, God, for standing in the gap for us. God, I thank you so much, Jesus, that you have given everything for us. That you've made us sons and daughters, that you've brought us into your happy kingdom, God. It's a blessing and a miracle. We love being in this, God. And I just pray for an impartation this morning of faith in the name of Jesus. Power faith over this congregation. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, for the power of grace, that things would begin to get easy in the name of Jesus. God, I just pray, Lord, that there would be great wisdom here in this house. From those, God, and I know it most of all, God, from those who would seem foolish, God, you would make wise. From those who are fearful, God, you'd put faith in their hearts. Lord, you would turn a generation around. We are ready. We want this, God. We want your power. We want your wisdom. We want to make you stand, O King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love you, Jesus. You're amazing, God. Thank you so much for saving us. Thank you for this awesome life. We praise you and lift you up, O King of Kings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to rejoice too, but I just feel like the Lord wants to do something this morning. So let's not miss this moment. If that's you this morning, say, Blake, I need to be filled with more of God. I want to be filled with more of God. If that's you, I just want you to lift your hands like this. We just want to pray for you. We want more of you, God. It might be grace. It might be faith. It might just be more of the Holy Spirit. Just out of your own mouth, say, Jesus, fill me. Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. A spirit of power. Spirit of grace. Lord, help me to believe again. To remember the testimonies and the things that you've done in the past, Lord, that you want to do again. Fill us, Lord. Help us to lift up our eyes, King Jesus. Lift up our eyes, King Jesus, to dream again, to believe you for impossible things. Give us your grace, Holy Spirit. Give us your grace to believe, to stand, to speak, to pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right where you are, just worship the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's just worship the Lord right where you are. Worship him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you hear our prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you bring prodigals home, God. Thank you that you're patient with us, Lord. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand this morning. Thank you, Alan, Melissa. Thank y'all for being with us this morning. Wasn't that good? I just feel infused with faith this morning, don't y'all? Amen. That was awesome. Amen. All right. Well, as we close this morning, we're going to leave the altars open. If you need prayer for something specific or you want someone to stand with you in prayer, we're going to leave that open for you. Man, I feel like I don't want to close. We're going to be here next week. Pastor Mike's going to bring the word. Invite somebody out. We're going to have a good time, all right? If you haven't registered and you plan on registering for the marriage weekend, please do that so we can start planning for food and tables and all that jazz, all right? We'll see you next week. Y'all have an amazing week. Thank you again.